Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
This particular Sunday is the end of a series of sermons based on things that are lost and found from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. For those of you who have spent August with us, we have been talking about the lost things and found things. There are three parables in this chapter. The first parable, Jesus says, is the parable of a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And he wakes up one day and finds that one is missing. And so he goes and searches for the one that's lost, leaving the 99 there in the pasture. And he searches high and low until he finds it. And then he gathers it in its arms, around his shoulders, and carries it, lugs it back home. And when he finally arrives back home, he is so happy that the one that is lost is found that he calls his neighbors together and they have a celebration of joy because the one that was lost was found. And Jesus says, you know, heaven's like that. All of heaven rejoices when the one that is lost is found. Then Jesus goes on to tell the story of the woman who had 10 coins. And she discovered that she lost one. And in fear and humiliation, because she was responsible for the treasury of the home, realizes she has lost one of the precious 10. She does everything she can to find it, lights the lights in the room, sweeps out every nook and corner until she finds it. And then in the ecstasy of the discovery, she calls all of her family and friends together and says, I found it. And then Jesus says, and heaven is like that too. All of heaven sings for joy when that which is lost is found. Jesus is telling these stories in the company of tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and scribes. Each one of them think that God's love is conditional. What must I do to receive God's love and forgiveness? What must I keep doing in order to keep God's love and forgiveness? And the snickers and sneers of the Pharisees and scribes as they look to the tax collectors and sinners and saying, I'm glad I'm not like one of these. They'll never make it. Jesus keeps going because there's a third parable, the parable of the prodigal son. It's probably one of the most universal beloved parables. It is known even beyond the boundaries of the Christian faith. People know this story. It's a story not just of a prodigal son, but of a forgiving and loving father. It is Jesus' example in parable form of what God's unconditional love is all about. It's very interesting how universal this story is. I bet you there are many of you here who have your own prodigal story. It may be a story in which you are a character personally within the story. Because it's a story of exile and return. It's a story of homecoming. In some way, in life's ups and downs, in life's trajectories, there is a time when we come to ourselves and redirect our lives and find homecoming. It's very interesting how universal the story is. It crosses all boundaries and barriers. We even brought one back from Guatemala. There are many stories from Guatemala.
Let me share this one with you. Let's see, we got Randy here, and we've got Emily and Nelson and Trey's over here. Anybody else? Am I missing anybody? We had a marvelous team. We worked beautifully together. We worked hard. Trey was a marvelous mission leader. We did wonderfully well. It was a great experience. So they sent us to this little tiny village. It's called, if I can get it right, I have trouble saying this, La Nationale, that's not right, Nationale, what is it? Nationale de Japon, the nation of Japan. Yeah, we had the same thought. There are absolutely no Orientals in this little village. It's not even on the map. You can't find it. You just have to get there. It's about 20, 30 miles inland from the Pacific Ocean. If you look at any Guatemalan map, it's blank. I mean, the whole territory is blank. We talked to one of the leaders of this little village who had grown up in the village. Ask him where this name came from, the nation of Japan. Where did the name of the village? He had no memory. I don't think anybody knew. He told his story, though. He said, when he was a young man, he decided he wanted to leave the village, and so he left, and he joined the army. And when he got out of the army, he got married, and he decided he didn't want to come back to the village, so he and his wife started a family in Guatemala City, and they bought a house. And then he said, I was getting kind of antsy too, and so I wanted to see the world. And what I really wanted to do was go to the United States. But there wasn't enough money to fly to the United States. And he asked, what does it cost to fly? He said, we couldn't do that, so we had to drive. And in order to drive to the United States, you have to drive through Mexico. He said, on the way through Mexico, he was kidnapped and held for ransom. That they wanted $5,000 or they would kill him. And so he tried desperately to figure out how in the world he could come up with this $5,000. He was eventually able to communicate to family members who were in the United States, and they gave him some seed money in order for him to be able to sell his house in Guatemala City to come up with the $5,000, which they paid. They released him, and as they released him, they said, if you ever enter Mexico again, we will kill you. So he comes back to Guatemala homeless, and he goes back to the village of his birth and brings his family. And today he lives in a grass, straw-roofed hut. And he says, I am a happy man. I have my family and I have God. He was one of the ones that was responsible for us being there in the first place. He was one of the contingents of the village who went to Living Water to ask if they could have a fresh water well. And he was all over the place while we were there. He spent the night there watching the well, make sure it was protected and cared for. And he was instrumental in helping us have meals during the day. The story is universal. Homecoming. There's always something new to learn when you open the scriptures. And I have a new insight of the parable myself today. I get it from a New Testament scholar by the name of Kenneth Bailey, of what truly is understood by God's unconditional love. And he gives insight to the parable because he gives it from a perspective of an ancient Middle Eastern family culture. And in his perspective, this is how it works. This is how it went down. Since when we think about this parable, we think about the father of a great estate. And they'd had two sons, and one of the sons, you know, asked for the inheritance so that he can go out and live his own life. But he says, no, that's not how it is. In those days, everyone lived in the village. Even if the man had property, he still lived in the village with the other villagers because that's where they were protected. And so the village was together, and they were united as a kind of a single community entity. And so what happened to one was reflected on the others. And so when Jesus was saying this parable, there were several moments in the story when everybody listened would gasp at what he was saying. The first gasp came when Jesus said, and the younger of the one asked his father to receive his inheritance now. That would be a gasp. Because what he was really saying is, I wish, Father, you were dead so that I could have what belongs to me now. The second gasp would come when it said that he gathered all that he had, which translated means he cashed it out, so that he could leave, selling all of the property in order for him to be able to leave. And it says what that would have done was publicly humiliated the father and shamed the community. So when that happens, the community gathers together and they have a ritual of excommunication. You don't want to belong to us. You're not going to belong to us. We will expel you and exile you, and you are excommunicated from us. But before that could happen, he leaves. Goes to the far country, the parable says, where he lives and squanders all of his inheritance. At this point, the listeners would go, ah, it's justified. Good riddance. And then the parable goes on, and he loses everything, and he ends up can't get enough money to have food, and he's wallowing with the pigs. And then it says he comes to himself. And for many, and for me always, the come to myself part was, well, he just hit the bottom of the bottom, and so the only way out is up, and so that's the point of repentance. But Bailey says, no, what happens is he started thinking about options. And one of the options is I could go back and plead my case to my father and ask to be hired on as a hired hand. And maybe I can work myself back into his good graces. And I will use a ploy. I will say, Father, I am not worthy to be called your son. That'll work. And then he heads for home. But then the story says, and the father's been looking for him all along. And when he sees him, before the villagers could see him, the father girdles up his robe and runs out of the city gates in order to embrace his son first. And Bailey says, for the elder of the community to gird up his robe and run is a humiliating act. It is despicable. It is not worthy of a prominent man of the community to humiliate himself in such a way. But he reaches his son, embraces him, welcomes him back into the family. The son tries his speech, but he doesn't get it finished because the father is so excited and so elated that his son has come back, that he embraces him back into the fold of the home, before the villagers could get out there to stone him to death. The point, unconditional love of God is a high price. It is costly. It costs the Father
is dignity. And Jesus says, that's what unconditional love is. That is the love of God. It is a high price. And Jesus says that's what true homecoming is. It's when we understand the high price, the cost that Jesus paid for us to come home. The high price of the cross, the humiliation of the cross, death on a cross. So then you and I could be eternally embraced by the unconditional love of God. That's the gospel. This is a day for homecoming for all of us. It's good to be together. It's good to be together in this place. But the ultimate message of the day is for all of us to understand how truly deeply loved we are because of the high price that the Son of God paid for you and for me. And in that he says, welcome home. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.